Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Brandon Lindell, Senior Associate Pastor at James River Church. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Tonight, I want to talk to you out of a scripture in Matthew chapter 6, and we've been in a study on the book of Mark. And one of the things that's become apparent very early on is that Jesus, who the book of Mark is about, is which makes it a good book. Any book that's about Jesus is a good book because Jesus is awesome, and Jesus is the answer, and Jesus is the reason. And so we're studying the book of Mark. It's about Jesus, and one of the things that's become very apparent very early on is Jesus was a man, fully God, but fully man, a man of prayer. And often you see Jesus sneaking away to pray, and people being like, where did he go? They're looking for Jesus. He was gone praying again. And so you see that happening very often, but quickly the disciples make a connection in Jesus' life with the power that Jesus operates in his personal prayer life. They make a connection, and so they ask a question that is really important if you want to grow in your relationship with God and if you want to see God's power work in your life and you're like, man, I need God, I want God to move in these areas of my life. They ask a question because they make that connection. They ask a question to Jesus that maybe you're asking tonight. They say, Jesus, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Maybe you're here tonight at the prayer meeting. Maybe you've only been coming for a few times or it's your first time and you're like, man, I need to learn to pray. That's a good question to ask, is to say, how do I pray better? Because the power of God working in our life is connected to personal prayer. And they say, teach us to pray. And Jesus gives them an answer. And he shows them something about prayer that if we miss what he tells them, we miss the foundation of our prayer, where the power of our prayer comes. We miss what prayer is all about. And so it's so important that we understand what Jesus gives them as the answer. Otherwise, we'll have an ineffective prayer life. And so let's look at it in Matthew chapter 6, verse 7. It says, and when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, people who don't know God, for they think that they'll be heard for their many words, meaning that they're working too hard, they're trying too hard, but don't be like them, because that's not how prayer works, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. He says, pray then like this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, holy is your name. You know, tonight I want to speak to you from the subject, the power of personal prayer. If you wanted a different title, I have two. I'm ready for you. Praying to a personal God. I think both of those titles kind of encapsulate the subject tonight from the Word of God, but praying to a personal God, and when we pray to a personal God, there's power. Maybe you're here tonight and you felt like, man, my intercession is ineffective. There's my prayer, it seems powerless. My time with God doesn't seem what it should be. And I want to encourage you that if you get a revelation and an understanding of a God who deeply loves you, who's passionate about you, who has grace for you, who wants relationship with you, a father relationship, if you get an understanding of that, then it will revolutionize your prayer life. It will change the way you pray and add a faith and a power to your prayer that wasn't there before, praying to a personal God. How many of you, just by a show of hands in the room, you have ever in your life, and maybe do it often, you FaceTime, you video call, you FaceTime somebody. Come on, can I get a hand in the air? I can barely see everybody. I heard that was a problem last week, and I'm going to help us again. Could we bring the house lights up a little bit? Because I want to see those hands. I want to see this and bring it up a little more, a little more, a little more, a little more. Excellent. You FaceTime before. You FaceTime. Oh, so many hands, so many things. We are in the future, people. This is the future. I don't know how you're excited as I am because we are living in the future. We don't have to go back to the future. We can FaceTime. We can video call. I can call somebody and I can see them. This is the future. You know, we should face it. Video or regular calling is boring. FaceTime, the future. All right, I love FaceTiming because it's a personal interaction, but let's be honest, friends. You do not FaceTime unless you know somebody really well, you're really good friends, or your family. Okay, because FaceTime brings it to a whole nother personal level. Anybody with me on that? You know, if you're phone calling, all right, if you're phone calling, you can fake it. If you're phone calling, you can have just gotten out of bed, but if you can fake your voice, anybody done that? You get a phone call, you're like, hello? They're like, were you sleeping? You're like, no. And they're like, oh, good, good. And they start talking. You're like, you get the voice right, you're good to go. You know, you can have makeup smeared all over your face, and if you get the voice right, you're good to go. You know, it's really you at your best, even on your worst day. But if you FaceTime, and you're wearing sweats, it's you in sweats, all right? You FaceTime and you're having a bad hair day, it's you in a bad hair day, okay? If you FaceTime the house is a mess, it's you in your messy house. If you FaceTime and you're stuffing your face with Andes and you're in sweats, you're having a bad hair day and you're in a messy house, you need counseling people, all right? It's bad for you that day. You cannot. It gets real when you FaceTime. They're getting the real you. That is you. The Andy sweats you. That's the real you. Is that true? You know, we serve a personal God. A God that wants to know the real us. A God that wants to interact with us on a deep personal level. You know, oftentimes we can come to prayer and we put on our best voice. We put on our best foot forward and we say, God, I praise you because you're holy and you're awesome. I pray your kingdom would come and your will be done. But we lack a personal element to our prayer. We start maybe in the wrong place. We say, God, you know, I could have done better today. And God, for your glory, I'm going to do better. And that's going to be awesome. But we feel like we're lacking the personal element of prayer. God wants to interact with you personally. None of those things are bad, all of them are very important. But if our prayers lack a personal relationship, they're gonna be hollow and powerless. God is a God who wants to know you personally. He doesn't want to know the best version of you. He wants to have a relationship with you. And his son died on the cross, so you didn't have to pretend that you have it all together, but you can trust in Jesus and have a personal, intimate relationship with him. And that's an amazing, amazing thought. You know, I was thinking of FaceTime, and then you think about the face of God. We serve a God who has a face. And he doesn't want us to interact with him as though he's just some nebulous being on the edge of the universe, some intangible God, but he wants us to interact with him personally. And so often the Bible will say, seek his face. I want to look at a couple Psalms. The first one we'll put on the screen. It says, look to the Lord in his strength, seek his face always. Seek him personally always. Seek who he is. Say, God, I want to know who you are. I want to understand what makes your heart beat. I want to understand you, God. I want to seek your face. I've sought your face with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your promise. Another one says, my heart says of you, seek his face. Your face I will seek. That we have a God who wants to know us personally. What an amazing thought. What an awesome, awesome thought that the God who put the universe together, the God who is over all and in all and through all, that big, awesome, glorious, holy God wants to know you. He wants to know what you like. He wants to know you intimately in a relationship with you. I know oftentimes we can think, well, God knows all about me, so why does he want to know me? He does know me. He perceives my thoughts from afar, Psalm 139. He knows my sitting. He knows my rising. But I think we make a mistake if we go, because God knows all about us, then he doesn't want to hear about our lives. He doesn't want to interact with us personally, because that's not the heart of God. And so we serve a God with a face. And when we understand a personal relationship with God, when we seek his face, there's a blessing that's attached to that. I think of this this scripture in Numbers. And coincidentally, Moses was a man who talked to God face to face as a man talks to his friend. But he talks to God. The Lord spoke to Moses to tell Aaron to put the blessing on the people. And you know, if you attend James River Church, at the end of the services on Sunday morning, we bless the people. And that's really coming out of this scripture. But there's something interesting I want you to see. And it says, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you're to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. That phrase, the Lord make his face shine upon you, the NLT says it this way. It says, may the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. You know, when we serve God, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, then his righteousness and who he is covers you. So when God sees you, he sees you through the lens of Jesus. And that's a great thing, because oftentimes if we don't live perfectly, and none of us do, we can feel that we come to God from the deficit. And when we feel we come to God from the deficit, it gives us a sense that God is angry with us and mad at us, and we got to make up for that. And I love that scripture. The Lord smile on you. Do you know, if you're in Christ and Jesus covers you, that when God looks to you, he looks at you with a smile. How cool is that? That no matter what you have walked through today, that God is happy that you're here. And God smiles on you, and God has joy to see you. And I think it's sad but often true that so many believers, when you would think, what is God's face? What is God's countenance when he looks at me? That you would think, smile? I don't know. Like, maybe like half smile, like, but not like full smile. I mean, like, oh, it's you again. Cool. Yeah, like a distant friend, you know? But no, God smiles on you. He loves you because of Jesus. So cool. I think it's interesting when you look at the Lord's Prayer to see how Jesus puts our Father first. And we're going to put it up on the screen, the Lord's Prayer. It says, pray then like this, our Father in heaven, as to say, this is the foundation for prayer. If you understand your relationship with the Father, the rest of your prayer life can flow out of that. But if you misunderstand that relationship, then the rest of your prayer life is going to struggle. And let me show that to you. Our Father, holy is your name, or hallowed be your name. You know, one of the great things about God is he's holy. He's perfect. He's awesome. He's big and amazing and powerful, that whatever your need is, he's able, because he's a powerful, awesome God. That God is sinless. How great is that? That God isn't fickle. He's unchanging. We serve a perfect, holy God. But you start there and you don't understand your relationship with Christ, God gets really scary really fast, because you go, oh man, yeah, I can't be a part of that. God, I want to come to you today, but as I think of your holiness, God, I instantly am aware of my deficiency. And if that's your foundation, without the understanding of Father, God can be very scary. Now, God is holy, and that is awesome. But it's fearful if you have no relationship with him. And Jesus even said, hey, you know what? Apart from grace, I'll tell you the one who you should fear. Tell you the one. After you die, he can throw you into hell. We serve a holy, awesome God. But apart from relationship, man, it's scary when you come to prayer. Then he says, your kingdom come, your will be done Meaning that what God wants to do on the earth, what God wants to do in people's lives, God, I pray that your kingdom would come. I pray that that would be our heart. I pray that your kingdom would come to this church. I pray that your kingdom would come to people's lives. But if we separate that from our relationship with him as Father, then it becomes something that's more like, I know you're doing that, God, but I think that's probably good to pray for, God, that your kingdom would come, because that's what it says in the Lord's Prayer, and that's what I'm going to say, because that's what you say to say. You know, but you notice that that's relationshipless, but God wants it to be out of Father. Father, I love you, and I love what you're doing in my life, and I love that you love me, and I pray that more people would experience in that. I pray that your kingdom would come to people's lives. God, you love me a lot, and so I know you love that person. I pray your kingdom would come to their lives. It changes, and you know, it will change your perspective, especially on situations where naturally you may not want God to bless somebody or his kingdom to come to somebody. Maybe it's somebody that you're like, they're not very nice to me. You relate to the Father, you remember his grace, and all of a sudden praying for the kingdom to come becomes a lot easier because you're like, God's been so good to me. God, I pray that you be good to them. Your kingdom come. Apart from that relationship, falls apart. Give us this day our daily bread. This is your needs. So maybe you've come in tonight and your needs are looming large. You know, you're stressed. You got a lot going on in your world. And you're like, man, yeah, I'm here at the prayer meeting because I need God to help my needs. That is a good thing that you would say, you know what? I need God to work in these needs because I know I cannot. I'm at the end of myself. I know I need God to work in my needs. But I'll tell you this. Apart from your relationship with God, if you just come with your needs, you're going to find that you're trying to convince God to help you. So instead of saying, coming at the vantage point of faith, which believes God and trusts him and looks to him and say, God, I'm asking you because I know you're a good father that gives good gifts to your children, and I know you love me, and I know you're going to work in this situation. You come at more from a bargaining standpoint. And we talked a little bit about this on Sunday, where it can be like, you know, God, I pray that you'd help me with this. And God, if you do this, I'll do that. And God, I really, 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 really need your help. And God, I know if I pray a lot, you'll help me because I'm going to try harder. And God, you just feel like the work in the prayer. But out of relationship, it's not like that. Totally undercuts the work. You pray about it, and you pray a lot about it because you know you love being in the presence of God, and you know he's going to help you, and you say, the more prayer I got, the better, because the more of God I got in my life, the better, and I know God's going to help me because he's a good father. Out of the foundation, the need gets magnified and really can consume your prayer, and there's a powerless prayer that happens there. But when you understand your relationship with the Father, it's different when you pray for your needs. And really, one of the most important one to understand your relationship with him is this, that lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Maybe tonight you're in here and you're struggling. And you're like, man, I just can't seem to win. I can't seem to win. I feel constantly tempted. I feel constantly like I'm failing God. And I know I want to come in here and experience the presence of God, but I know that'll never happen. Like, I'm just here because I know I'm supposed to be here, because I know who I am, and it ain't somebody that God wants to interact with. But I'm here to tell you tonight that if you're in Christ, you have a Father who loves you so much and does not see you as you deserve to be seen, but sees you through the lens of Jesus Christ. And you can come to him with a confidence that he's going to hear you and loves you and has presence and grace for you. And that's it's just the enemy that wants you to live in condemnation, wants you to constantly be caught up in everything that you're doing wrong, and every reason that you won't be heard, and every reason that you're not good enough. So your needs are undercut, and the holiness of God is undercut. It's a scary thing, and I have to convince God to help me, and I'm always failing. And who wants to serve a God that's like that? And God knows that. God knows you can't do it. So stop trying and start trusting in a God who loves you so very much. So very much. He cares about you so very much. And if our faith, because condemnation, what it does is it makes you afraid. And it makes you afraid of, you almost feel like, okay, so I got this going on with God over here, and so I can't really, you know, I got to know, I got to solve this before I get to God. So you know what happens is you start to try to solve your issues on your own. And you start to try to make those your problem rather than saying, I know I can't solve these, I'm going to make them God's problem. But because you can't talk to God, because God's mad at you, it's your problem. So you feel like you're in this total catch-22. I know I'm supposed to serve God, but I can't talk to him right now because I'm solving my problems. It's just true. And that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to say, you know what? When you solve this, you can talk to God. You know, and he'll even tell you, you know, I want you to be able to talk to God. That's a good thing. It's too bad you can't do that right now, isn't it? You know, it'd be really great if you could talk to him, but you need to solve this problem. Once you solve that problem, you'll be good. You'll be good. But that's condemnation, people. And God paid for it on the cross, so you didn't have to live there. And so tonight, as we're in the prayer meeting, why is this important for you to know in a prayer meeting? Because if you don't pray out of a relationship with the Father, you'll never understand the joy and the power of prayer. If you don't pray out of relationship with the Father, then you'll be sitting where you're sitting tonight thinking, I wish God would help me. I wish there was mercy for me. And I think we can say, yes, God, you're merciful, you're great. But then when it comes to our personal situation, we're like, yeah, but. And it's not like that. It's, there's grace, there's mercy for you. In your personal situation, God loves you. I just pray that you get a revelation of that tonight. I pray that it gets in your spirit. It will change your prayer life. To wake up tomorrow morning and rather than feeling like, another day, you know, and I hope God helps me. God, please help me today. But to say, God, your mercy are new every morning. I don't care, God, I know tomorrow, yesterday I could have done better, but God, I thank you that I've a perfect relationship with you today through Jesus Christ. Great is your faithfulness. And God, I believe because of Jesus that you're going to help me today and you're going to bless me today. And it's not by my might nor by my power, but by your spirit, God. And maybe tonight you've come into here and you're like, man, I really do need to ask God for some things. Maybe you're like, I am that person who's wrapped up in condemnation. And tonight you're like, man, I would love to be free of that. Come to a Father who's merciful to you. Come to a Father who loves to help you with that, who's not waiting for you to get past it, but waiting for you to ask with faith that he loves you. Maybe you're here tonight and you have a need that's looming large. But as you magnify the Lord, you're like, yeah, I do need God to meet this need. And as I magnify God, I realize how big he is and holy he is, and I feel like distant from him. But you need to come from the vantage point of our Father and understand, you know, there's a scripture that says, if you know how to give good gifts to your kids, if that's how you work and you're evil, and that's how Jesus says it. That's all, I'm not saying you're evil, but that's how Jesus says it. So if Jesus says it that way, I'm okay. But he's saying, if you know how to give good gifts to your kids and you're not perfect, how much more a perfect God will give good gifts to those who ask him. Meaning, how much more a loving Father gives good gifts to those who ask. You know, the scripture says, our spirit cries to him, Abba, Father. Abba, Daddy. Maybe you didn't have a good relationship with your dad, but we serve a perfect God who's not like an imperfect father. He loves you. He loves you. He's smiling right now at you. Like, it's kind of awkward, God. You're always smiling at me. But he is. He loves you. And he wants to interact with you personally. And he wants to meet your needs. And he wants to pour out his grace on your life, his presence on your life. But you have to believe him. And you have to say, God, I receive it. If you're like this, it's hard to receive anything. But if you say, God, I trust you, then God will work in your life in a huge way. He loves you. So tonight, I'm going to ask the musicians to just play. But if you're facing some things where you need not to interact just with God, but interact with a Father who loves you, because that's who God is. we're going to open up the altars. I just want to invite you to come in this place and to receive from a God who's ready to give. We'll just spend some time in prayer.